Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you so much, Dave. Here we are again. A lovely week. Oh, my. Well, we use the term lovely loosely because it's going to hit about 100 degrees in Baltimore. And check this out. There was a huge water main break in the heart of the city yesterday. The road actually buckled because of the heat and the strength of the water coming out. So we are really rocking and reeling in the city of Baltimore. But it's all good. It's all going to work out, no doubt. Wherever you are, I hope it's fine and dandy. Thanks so much for joining us here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Dave Solomon was the wonderful gentleman who introduced the show. Coming up next hour, a beautiful, inside and out, stunningly talented lady who I have wanted to have on the show for the longest time. Now, since she is Moroccan, she will correct me if I pronounce her last name not the way she would like it, because I can't wait to hear her voice. Her singing voice is astounding. Her speaking voice, can't wait. Her name is Bridget Zeri. Woo, just to say her name, got quite a history, quite an album that she wants to share, another one on the way. And right now for you, oh, a classic, as is the usual case, Wes Montgomery and the Wynton Kelly Trio, Unit 7. From Smokin' at the Half Note. Thank you.
Thank you. Silver train right down the Hudson. Have lunch in Midtown, a summer in New York. Post-prandial, me and
About some air-conditioned music. Woo! Summer in New York, very much like summer in Philadelphia, a little bit down the road, then further down the road, summer in Baltimore, and maybe where you are too. Oh, temperatures hovering around 100 degrees. This has been a very unusual year. I know you start to sound like an old person. Oh my God, never saw a year like this before. But honestly, it's been a trip. You know this is true. We hardly had any winter, and now this is a brutal summer. summer. So you thought you had a reprieve for a while? Oh, no. Summer in New York, Michael Franks from his amazing Time Together CD. Just tickled to see that at michaelfranks.com, he's got some more tour dates. You probably heard a few months ago, I was a little concerned because I didn't see any, but my gosh, he's really made up for it. And in case you hear some noises in the background, I am multitasking, making lunch for my son in the background there. So the aroma of turkey sausage is wafting through the air as I tell you about Michael Franks and his tour. So interesting that he's going to be in various places, new places that he has not been before. And in case you see him on the road, Charles Benzig is usually on piano, Jay Anderson on bass, Mark Egan, Sean Conley, David Mann, Willard Dyson, and of course the incredible Veronica Nunn on vocals with him. Also, you should make note of this. The last time we checked, there wasn't this notation, but there is a French compilation. It's called The Dream. It really sort of capsules the 24 years at Warner Brothers. Michael's years spent from 1973 to 2011. Quite a wonderful little prize package if you want to think about early holiday gift giving. Hey, Christmas in July, QVC does it all the time. I might as well do my part, right? Michael Franks there, Pat Metheny and John Scofield from 1994. Yeah, I can see your house from here. The name of the track, the name of the CD, with Steve Swallow on acoustic and or electric bass and Bill Stewart on drums, Pat on the nylon string, John Scofield on the steel string, and had to play that particular song because Pat Metheny thought the world, still does think the world of the artist who started the show. Matter of fact, Pat Metheny learned to play listening to Wes Montgomery and Smokin' at the Half Note. One of the tracks on that particular CD, Pat considers to be the best of all time. So for Pat Metheny to say that, he is a very quirky fellow, quite vocal about what he likes and doesn't like. He is going to be with his Unity Tour at Ram's Head in Annapolis and a bunch of other places, I'm sure, near you. If you get a chance, please go, especially if you have any younger people in the house that you want to turn on to how the guitar is supposed to be done. Wes Montgomery would be so proud of his student. That was Wes with Wynton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, Jimmy Cobb on drums. That was Miles Davis's rhythm section from 1959 to 1963. Wes made use of them on Unit 7 and a bunch of tracks that people consider, not just Pat Metheny, but a lot of folks consider to be some of the premier jazz ever. So that's from 1965, if you want to pick that up. Mercy, that was good stuff. Nice to play Wes Montgomery always during the show. Bridget will be with us the top of next hour, which is only about 30 or so minutes away. I'm really excited about that. Bridget Zeri, who has an unusual background. How many people do you know that actually have parents from Casablanca? Yeah, and she's had quite a year, both good and bad. And hopefully this is the right time for Bridget to be on the show so she can, how shall we say this, just like Chris McNulty, who will be with us next week, by the way. Chris needed to be on the show. It was the right time for her to express what she needed to express about her son, Sam. The anniversary of his death was yesterday, by the way. A year. Bridget just lost her mom a few months ago and has not been doing a lot of press, not interviews that I can pinpoint. So it's the right time for her to talk about her music past, what's happening today, and what's happening for tomorrow so she can go forward. So I'm really looking forward to this beautiful girl being on the show. She is a formidable talent. And so is this rascal. Well, if you take a look at Demetrius Neighbors and his Facebook page, he's been busy and just a source of pride for so many people, and we'll get into why after you hear this particular track. This is so nice. From A Journey Within, Part 1, Demetrius Neighbors on the keyboard and company. So Into You on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. I've been left alone. I've been let go. Now that I'm on my own, it ain't feeling so good. 'Cause I've got nothing to change my mood. And for the first time, loneliness is speaking to me. And for the first time, I wasn't listening before. And for the first time, loneliness is speaking to me, and I hear it loud and clear. Yes, I've got nowhere to go, no one I can call. Cause everyone that I know, they've already got their backs up against the wall. They've got things they need to do, which leaves me more time to think about you. For the first time, loneliness is speaking to me. And for the first time, I guess I wasn't listening before. And for the first time, I hear it loud and clear. Yeah. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I hear it loud and clear. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I've been let down. I'm barely getting through. Wish that I could just forget about you. And for the first time, loneliness is speaking to me. And for the first time, I guess I wasn't listening before. And for the first time, I wasn't listening before. I guess I wasn't listening.
Woo! Man, that song has been in my head over and over again. There are a few songs that are going to be on the show today that just have that effect, and I'm going to turn that off right now so you won't hear that again. That is just so annoying. Bing! You've got mail. Thank you very much. That was Eric Scott. That from his brand new Where the Water Runs Deepest. Now, Eric was with us a couple of months ago, and that was before his CD release party, which went swimmingly. It was sold out. Just phenomenal. That's one of those tracks on the CD that you go back to time and time again. He wrote all of the songs. Loneliness is speaking to me. Raise your hand if you're late. Oh, my God, so beautiful. EricScottMusic.com. Let me tell you something that has transpired with Eric Scott. This is so flipped out. Not only is he going to be part of this July 28th, Fillmore in Silver Spring, Maryland soiree. It's going to be a huge event. It's a tribute to Stevie Wonder. And usually these tribute shows, I want to put my finger in my mouth. Oh! Because you know, it's a quick way to make a buck for a lot of promoters, and sometimes it's just not done right because the right people are not assembled. Not in this case. The amazing Julia Nixon will be part of this tribute. Marianne Redmond, who has a formidable reputation across several states, and Eric Scott, a part of this. So you know what you've just heard in the way of that voice. Well, it's not only us who are paying attention. I don't know how he managed to do this, but his voice got in the ears of the right people. So if you see that new Cesar Millan promo on National Geographic TV for The Dog Whisperer, the Hello song that was written by Lionel Richie that is coming out of Cesar's mouth, it's not him. It's actually Eric Scott. And we had to have permission from Lionel Richie to get the go-ahead to make sure that promo was everything that it should have been. So Lionel heard Eric's voice and went, no problem. That's pretty hot and heavy, isn't it? So somebody suggested on his wall on Facebook, hey, we see this commercial all the time. Are you getting a check every time that commercial plays? And he said, yeah, I wish. But at least he got recognition and he's getting some money for it. So this is just another stepping stone in his beautiful career. He really should be internationally known, and I think that he's going to be. I really do. That's so hot. McCoy Tyner and his trio. Oh, my. Michael Brecker, God bless him, on sax, and Avery Sharp on bass, also Aaron Scott on drums. Man, what can you say? Where is Love from the CD Infinity from 1995? McCoy has on his website, it's important to utilize the talents that we have. Moving forward, keep moving forward, and be happy. That's the icing on the cake. So cool. He's going to be 74 this year, touring not as heavily as I saw the last time I checked the website, but he's at least doing his thing. I'm so glad. And Michael Brecker, a couple of things you might not have known about the late, great Michael Brecker. First of all, he was in the Saturday Night Live band in the 1980s. I had forgotten about that. When Eddie Murphy would do his James Brown impersonation, there was Michael in the background wearing shades and playing the sax. Oh, that tickles me so much. And then what really gets under my skin is that there we were in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. He was 3 years older than me. He was going to Cheltenham High School. I was going to Bishop McDevitt High School, just around the corner. And we just never knew. Just never knew. Life would have changed if we had known, maybe. But it was not meant to be. Bless his heart. Here's another little factoid about Michael Brecker. If you remember, one of Paul Simon's great songs, Still Crazy, after all these years, 1975, Michael Brecker was playing sax in that song. And then 20 years later, he's with McCoy Tyner. Isn't that hot? Oh, man, some of these artists have such wonderful careers. It just is thrilling. Demetrius Neighbors looks like he's going to have one of those careers. By golly, So Into You is what we heard from A Journey Within Part 1. Just finished the Michigan Jazz Festival with his trio. Now, this is noteworthy. Here's Demetrius Neighbors. His album is considered a smooth jazz album, for lack of a better expression, but he was just doing his straight-ahead stuff at this jazz festival. He likes to delve into the straight stuff. He can do the contemporary stuff. He just spent a whole lot of time with some folks who are truly known in that world. But let it be known that Demetrius Crayon Neighbors knows how to do it all, including the classical stuff. He's really getting into some chamber music, and I don't know what it's going to be like when he's going to be performing with Phil Denny in the next couple of weeks or so, and then with Lynn Roundtree in Canton, Michigan, along with Randy Scott. two of those guys joined him on the CD, but he is just getting a name for himself from a couple of different kinds of pockets in jazz and beyond. So keep your fingers crossed for Demetrius. He is a wonderful man, good husband, good family man, excellent musician. And when you know how to do those kinds of forays into a multitude of jazz, you're just going to be called on a lot more than the usual guy. So good for him. Bridget will be joining us in less than 10 minutes or so. I'm excited. Bridget Zeri. Can't wait. And I know that she'll correct me. I know that folks are joining us today that are our guests. We don't necessarily know their names, and I know they're here for Bridget. Bridget and I have been friends on Facebook for quite a while, so when you see her name, Zarie, you assume you know how to pronounce it, but no, not taking any chances, and she'll just get that straight at the top of the hour. So get ready for that. And I wanted to play a little something that you'll hear very soon. You're going to hear a Bridget song in the set, but I wanted to play a little something off the top. Get into one of the folks after this song that was an inspiration for her, and then get into a Bridget song so you have her inspiration and Bridget side by side. First song in the set, Spyro Gyra, South Beach from Dreams Beyond Control on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Make room for me. Make love to what you see.
Already the chat room has spoken. Woo wee woo, wowie wow is happening all across the board, which I knew would happen. You have no idea how long this has been in the making to get this wonderful lady to the show. And the more I have read about her, the more one does research on her, the more you see that this particular talent is more than a breath of fresh air. Bridget embodies what was great about the past, what is hopeful about the future for jazz, not to embarrass her or anything, but this wonderful persona, because I can see from her Facebook page that it's more than just her talent. She's a beautiful woman, but she's got so much soul. I've had a couple of people message me to say, we're so happy that you finally have Bridget on the show because she's our heart. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's what they mean. And I'm going to tell you that besides being a formidable singer, she's also a songwriter. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the toast of New York. She also told me how to pronounce her name. I'll never forget some months ago. I said, okay, tell me how to pronounce your last name. She said, just think of Presley. So here is Bridget Zeri.
Hey, Trish, finally.
Finally. Okay, you say your name, Bridget.
It's Brigitte Zeri, yes.
Bridget Zeri. Okay, cool. So I've said it a couple of different ways. Now I know. How are you?
I'm great. Can you hear me? I just want to make sure, first off, we can hear each other clearly because I'm wearing headphones and I'll take them off. If.
I can certainly hear you fine.
Okay, good. Then we're
yep.
all set. I'm great. I'm doing good. I was really looking forward to finally speaking with you. We've been internet buddies for a while.
Oh, we have. And honestly, I knew, Bridget, that when you would be on,
mm-hmm.
I knew that when folks heard that initial song, they would be buzzing as they have.
Oh.
We've got a number of people in the chat room today. Sure enough,
mm-hmm.
three people said, oh, loving this track. You really, mm-hmm. you are like something. When I first heard the CD,
uh-huh.
I was so curious because it just seemed like I was in a different year.
Mm.
And you like that, don't you?
You know, it's not an intentional thing that I've done. So if that's what happened, then, you know, that's great. I'm flattered. I'm happy that I could have, you know, that I could do that. Yeah, it's, you know, it's great.
Well, where are your thoughts now? I mean, because Make Room for Me, we heard the title
mm-hmm.
track there. Now, that's several months old, and I know that you're working on something new. From the time
mm-hmm.
that you recorded that, because we're going to go back from soup to nuts and find out where you are from and how you got involved in music. But
mm-hmm.
from the time you did that CD until now, where
mm-hmm.
are your musical sensibilities? Where are you coming from now?
A whole different place. I mean, my CD, my new one, is about to be launched any minute. You know, I've been saying any minute for many minutes now, but it's turned into, you know, any minute, any month, any year. But, you know, it's a process. It's really, really a long process, and it's done. But the thing is that I, in the interim of doing the CD, I lost my mom. So I'm trying to take a moment, because I've written some songs now about her, and I'm trying to take a moment to maybe, you know, put those on the CD, or just, you know, we're thinking of just releasing the CD and then the singles that I've written about my mom later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm in a different, totally different place right now since that happened. Yeah.
I know you are, and I wanted to have you on the show now because
mm-hmm.
I just thought it would be really positive for you to get the energy from these folks who are being very vocal in their appreciation for you. You know, you for a while, as is the case with everybody who loses someone who is possibly the closest person on earth to them, I know you
mm-hmm.
hibernated for a while.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and now you're out, and I see you making the inroads on Facebook. I see you
mm-hmm.
appreciating and loving life more, so this seemed to be a really good time for you to break free.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it'll always be there, right? We
sure.
never really, yeah. But, so, you know, musically, it's definitely reached a much deeper place. Much, much deeper. And I hope that it reveals itself throughout my musical career or my life, for that matter. So.
And you know what, Bridget? Now that you've mentioned it, there's something about your voice.
Mm-hmm.
There was that flirtatious, that sassy, that strength. You've got that technique so in tune to what your
mm-hmm.
purpose is for each song. But now that you've said what you've said, there is
mm-hmm.
also something in your voice that has an Edith Piaf quality to it.
Oh, wow. She was great.
She was absolutely genius in what she was able to convey. And
mm-hmm.
now this is going to open doors for you. All of that is going to be called forth when you sing. So it necessarily
mm-hmm.
will change you. You know, you're right. It's going to be one of those situations that will always be with you. But you are so beautiful inside of yourself that you're going to take that and give that some meaning as you go along and sing
Thanks
in
so
concert.
Much.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much, Trish. Thanks. I really appreciate it. You're
sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, let's move on to, you know, I never want to stop. I could talk about my beautiful mama all day, all night, so I won't do that. Let's give them something else.
Okay. Well, we will. But you know what? That background is so intense. I mean, honest to goodness, you've got – this is the first time I've ever talked to anybody with Casablanca roots.
Pretty heavy, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty heavy. Yeah, pretty heavy. Yeah, pretty mystical stuff, too. My parents,
yes.
I embrace that. I really love that part about
And Dad was a multi-instrumentalist.
He was. My father played every instrument, and he was self-taught, which is very cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Played every instrument, and my mom used to sing. So you know, I think it's always that way, isn't it? You get your whatever you have, you know, as far as musical talent or any kind of talent. If your folks had it, or you know, I don't know.
Maybe. But the thing about it. That's cool is that depending on what you hear when you're growing up, you either absorb that or you don't in the way of becoming an artist yourself. But look at you. I mean, you were one of, what, 10 children?
Mm-hmm.
Had a pretty relentlessly musical household.
Crazy.
So it couldn't help but take. I mean, your brother, didn't he make you used to sing songs?
He did. He used to play the guitar, and he wouldn't make me. It was kind of like I was drawn to him. And, you know, I'd see him with the guitar, and I guess I just would love to hang out with him, and he would just play, and I would make up songs to whatever he was playing. And it was really all over the place. I mean, I have an older brother who also used to have music on blaring. You know, my brother Danny would have, he's really the reason why I know who Stan Getz is. He would play Stan Getz and when I was really little. And it introduced me to Stan Getz and Antonio Carlos Jobim. And then my other brother, the one with the guitar, Joe, he would play and I would just write and my sisters would sing, and it was everywhere. It was everywhere. It was quite. I was surrounded. So if it wasn't going to be a positive thing, I would have said, "Get me the hell out of here! I want nothing to do with music." Or it did what it did. On a positive note, it took me, and I welcomed it. The whole entire music scene. You know what I'm saying?
It
could have went either way, actually.
And, you know, I, in an odd way, I relate because, you know, when you are little and you hear things every day, we used to hear music. My father was not musical. My mom was not. But, you know, they were very much supportive of whatever I wanted to hear musically, whatever I wanted to see in the way of film. So you gravitate to the positive things that you learn. And when you meet someone who doesn't have that same kind of experience, you feel so sorry for them because if you're exposed to so much that is of the arts, that is creative, and you learn so many different kinds of music because either your parents played it or they allowed it in the house, you just appreciate everything so much as you grow older.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was molded. I really was. I was like a little unintentionally, though. You know, it's just any room I would go into, there was Marvin Gaye playing in one room. There was Stan Getz playing in another room. My mother would be singing in the kitchen. My father would be playing the piano. It was just bound to happen, and thank goodness it did because I'm very happy that I have that outlet, you know, to be able to be musical when I'm
And honey,
yeah, whatever.
You're not the only person who's happy that you have that outlet, because you have a lot of fans, not only on Facebook, but going to your website daily, looking to see what you're doing on Twitter. And, of course, I know I'm not foolish. I know that a lot of these are of the male persuasion, because as somebody just astutely pointed out on in our chat room, oh, my God, she's gorgeous. You are. And
thank you.
You're
that was
welcome.
An accident. That was an accident. And I don't you know what? Who cares about that?
Well, when you have that kind of look and then you open your mouth to sing, it's like life is just not fair.
Yeah.
Because you are a double whammy, and it's just a beautiful thing. How did you get to where, as a little girl, you were so immersed and then get involved professionally? I really want to know that.
Wow, that's weird, because it's almost like they went hand in hand. Just being immersed and being professional is like it was one of the same. I can't explain it.
Huh.
It's weird. I can't explain it. Like, I would be singing and, you know, you just, when you're singing or you're cooking or you're, whatever it is, your passion, you love, you surround yourself with that type of person or people. And, you know, one thing would lead to another, and I'd be working with a guitar player who's working on a commercial, and I'm a singer, so he would use me, or I would get the, you know, be in those circles. And, you know, and if you're working with, because I am an artist, I would be working with all facets of the musical industry, music, movies, commercials, et cetera. So these would be my friends naturally. You know what I mean? I flock
yes.
to those type of people. I flock to artists.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, it just was. You know what I mean? I never really thought
about
it.
I do, because having been quite involved with the philosophy of The Secret for a while, you know, you gravitate to those people who make you feel good about life
right.
and who make you feel good about you. So
right.
when you do, things happen organically.
Yeah, they do. And it's just, I relate to a lot of artists, you know, my entire life. You know, it's not that I'm narrow-minded, God forbid, because I wouldn't be able to write if I was. I need to see every facet of life and people and different personalities. But it's just that my immediate associations have always been musical, you know?
Your inner circle.
Players.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to call it a circle, because a circle is... it's too restricting. It's limiting. You know, I like everything to be, you know, out there and open. But
good point.
Yeah, just everybody I know has always been a music person. You know, it's just been my life. It's kind of weird now that I think of it. Now that I'm pointing it out.
Well, no, I mean,
now that you
that lends me to ask you. Did your other brothers and sisters get involved in music? Did Joe, for example, did he ever get involved in music?
No.
Did you?
No, he never did. No. No,
okay.
As a matter of fact, no one. I mean, my brothers dabbled, you know, they're drummers here, drummers there, and they all are musical, but they never pursued that as a profession. It's, I was the only crazy person.
But you were the one many years ago, oh, my God, I love this story, and I have actually told this story because I've played your music on the show, of course, but I love that that whole image of folks stuffed in a van in Buffalo, New York, and the family sleeping this one night, and you heard bebop coming out of
bebop.
A club.
I did. It's a memory that's etched in my brain for all eternity. My father, my sister was getting married, and my father, you know, having 10 children, and he thought, you know, driving was always a thing. Road trips were always a thing in my family, camping, anything with the car, because my father would cram us all in, and we had a van. And it was just a great way of having us all in the same place, and you know, it's just whatever. It was a beautiful, intimate times for me. So we would take this van, and my sister was getting married, and we were. He said, you know, we'll go to the store in Buffalo. There's some beautiful gowns for your mother, blah blah blah, and we'll see. So we got there, and I said, Dad, why are we driving at night? It's nighttime. We'll wait till, you know, morning, whatever. And of course, being so young, I just went with the flow and found myself sleeping in this van with my father and mother and my sister across the street from what turned out to be a really loud bebop club. And I was just up all night watching this place until this clothing store opened, you know. And my parents were sleeping, and, you know, we weren't exactly the richest people in the world, not even close to it. Hard to feed 10 mouths. And
sure.
So staying in a hotel at that time for us was also not going to happen. And it was just, who even thought like that? I didn't even think about money. I just loved being with my parents. I loved being in the van. You know, it just was a cool thing for me. I wasn't too young to think about any other comforts, or maybe we should stay at a 5-star. So long story short, I would stare at this club all night and see the guys walking by the van, looking inside and checking us out. And I just kept thinking, man, that's some cool music coming out of that place.
Oh, I love that story. I really do. And that sort of, that's something turned over in your soul. Something clicked and you went
crazy. Really did,
yeah.
Trish. Crazy, crazy, crazy. It really did. I don't know what happened that night, but it's kind of mystical, actually. I just remember being in awe that I really dug the music, and I just was enjoying every minute. I wasn't thinking about the cramped quarters I was in.
No, I mean, you were little, and you know, when we're little, we're thinking of those basic things. I mean, everything's going to get taken care of. I'm feeling safe. I'm feeling warm. Dad's got it under control.
Totally. He may have been slightly irresponsible putting us in the parking lot of a jazz club. You know, just a little bit. You might have wanted to pull over somewhere just a little quieter with less drunk people, but I think my dad, being a musician also, thought this was a cool place to hang out, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? You're right about the Moroccan mystic quality about it. Maybe your dad is an intuitive, and maybe he thought, maybe if we do this.
No. Actually, you know what? You really do have a point, because my father wanted us, as weird as it is to be in that night with the, you know, with the parking lot, he always wanted us to be around music. It didn't matter, you know. He just thought it was really crucial that he, you know, wanted to make sure that we were always around music. To him, that was as important as anything, as food. My father was a musician. He was, I told you that already, but
yeah.
His initial meeting with my mom was she met him in a club when she was little. They allowed, you know, in Morocco, a whole different rules with clubs and kids, whatever. And she went up to my dad, who was the sax player in the band, and she asked him to play a song, and he said, only if you dance with me. So, I mean, music goes back far for me, you know?
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's really something. And you know, I have to say this. Whenever I've seen about maybe, what, 3 or 4 of your clips that are on YouTube,
uh-huh.
You seem to have command of whoever is around you as far as the band members are concerned. How did you
that's
do.
Funny.
You,
okay,
you have a particular look that you give to somebody, and it's like, well, okay, let's delve into this. you might have learned that from being in that large family. I'm not sure, but you actually were in Toronto and you came to New York. How did that come to be?
It was just my sister lives here, so I wanted to, you know, be around her, I guess, and just I just remembered the whole Buffalo thing, and I remember digging the United States. I remembered really enjoying it, so. It started with, you know, because she was here, that I wanted to come out here and visit her and hang out with her and And then one thing led to another, you know, and I just stayed.
Oh, you certainly belong in New York City, that's for sure, because you've got that. I just love the idea on Make Room for Me, that it's so indicative of what was cool with more elements pulled in, that whole big band sound. It's just an overall joyous, I am so glad that I have this day kind of sound. And
thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's just a pleasure. We're going to delve into another track very, very soon. How did you get the players assembled? Why did you choose these particular players for this project?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, the project was kind of, when I wrote the Make Room for Me, I wrote each song, obviously, I wrote three. And my producer, bass player Neil Jason, he heard about 10 songs, just little sketches, but I had written completely Make Room for Me, Call on Love, and what other song did I See You Again. So that's off of the CD. So each song was matched with different musicians by the grace of God, because they are perfect, perfectly in tune with the See You Again. Having Randy Brecker work on that song was a marriage made in heaven. I don't know. It just was a miracle to get him for that song. It was a perfect connection. Neil is used to be with the Brecker Brothers.
Yes.
And him and Randy go back, and he just thought that song, and I also thought that song would be perfect for Randy, and it turns out it was an amazing decision, because he did a flawless job on See You Again. Jeff Gulub is also a friend of ours, and for Take It Easy, the song Take It Easy that I wrote, just a perfect marriage for that song, too. So it was really people that we know. A lot of musicians are friends of ours, thank God, and it happens that a lot of the greatest musicians, you know, I'm just that.
Oh,
I'm a very lucky girl. Yeah. No, I'm a very lucky girl that way. You know, I just, and the generosity and time that they spent on the CD, and especially, you know, that CD, but also on the new one that's coming up, which is a whole, you know, a whole other thing. But just the amazing generosity and time and talent that they lent for both CDs, I'm just so grateful to know them. I'm really grateful.
That's awesome.
But they would want to even do it, you know? I mean, they could have said, you know, hey, I'm on tour, see ya. But they showed up and, you know, they dug it and they enjoyed it. And I'm just so grateful. I'm really grateful.
Oh, Bridget, you're really something special. You are. No, you are. You don't sound like anyone else. And I can't tell you how grateful. And I'm speaking for many when I say you don't sound like anybody else. You are nobody's clone. You might pick up some influences, and people might hear a snippet of who was important to them in jazz, or who might be important to them in pop. But push gets to shove. When folks are going to be listening to you, closing their eyes, it's going to be immediate. That's Bridget.
That's really, really kind of you to say, Trish. I really appreciate that.
Oh, God. Bless you, girl.
You know, thank you so much. I mean, unintentional, again. Nothing is done, you know. Nothing is premeditated or planned, or we're going to do this. It's just like my mother always used to say, just be you. Just be you, you know. That's all she would ever say, like, you know, Mom, what do I do? But just be you. That's all you can do. So I'm happy that I was just me, and I'm grateful for your compliment.
And you know what, Bridget? Is that not the best advice that any parent can give a child? Because that
is
saying to you, you are worth so much.
Yeah.
That why would you want to be anybody else?
And I never got it. I really, really never got it. Until my mother, went to heaven. I never, you start reliving all the words of wisdom that your parents give you when they're gone. Doesn't that suck? Like, as she's giving it to me, it's like, oh, Mom, whatever, I know, yeah, whatever, heard that, yeah, I know. But when they're gone, all of a sudden their words become so ominous, so omnipotent, and wise and great and mystical and have depth. And then you start thinking that, holy moly, I can't believe how amazing that is, just be you.
And aren't we blessed to have had that experience? Because there are many people who have never had that blessing in their life to be able to take the wisdom of great parents and go forward.
Mm-hmm. I am blessed, and I feel very blessed. I had the greatest mother in the world. I mean, just the greatest mother, and she left me with such amazing wisdom. Yeah, we are blessed to have had that.
Yeah, it's And I was thinking along those lines, Bridget, when I heard the album, of course, in its entirety. I heard it again,
Mm-hmm.
But Take It Easy really stood out this time around, and I wanted to play that if that's okay with you.
Sure. I'd love
yeah.
that.
Good. This is...
Thanks, Trish.
Oh, my goodness. You are welcome. And stick with me because we're going to talk to you some more if you have the time, right?
Sure. I made it out just for you.
God bless you. All right, good girl. Bridget Zeri is with us, and Make Room for Me is the name of the CD, and it's just so exciting to see things develop with Bridget. I want to make sure you know where her head was at this time when she was recording this particular track. This is a very special guest, and we'll talk a little bit more about the guest in a minute, but for right now, this is Take It Easy. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Clouds in your sky got your heavy, heavy loads, making you old and bitter. Never be can't help. I can't help.
I can't help. Just love that song by Bridget Zeri. Oh my gosh. So beautiful. I was thinking it in terms of Bridget, that I know that you wrote the song, but I was thinking of your many fans writing it to you. If there's anything you need, I can help.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard many of those sentiments from fans after my mother passed away.
I know it, and I have seen it. I have seen a lot of love on your Facebook page. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's really amazing how people rally and people know how to carry you. Oh, my gosh. I get astounded every time.
There's a wonderful audience. It's narrow, but there's a wonderful and devoted audience to this kind of music. And that's always, they love it with a passion, jazz, you know. I'm really grateful that you play my music and I'm grateful to anybody that plays my music because there are some stations that won't play my music because I write original music and I don't sing standards. And that's pretty sad, you know?
Well, that is crazy because there are quite a few tunes on here that I would consider to be new standards, honestly.
Thank you.
My
Thank
God.
You very much.
Just resonating with me, and there's one song. I shouldn't even tell you this because it's like really personal, but you know.
Oh, because I haven't exposed myself completely.
Okay.
We're listening. Give us a little of your personal.
Well, look, when you take to a song and it means a lot, and you start to envision stuff. So I'll just throw it out there to the universe. Sometimes in order to get through some bad times, you have to force yourself to visualize the kinds of scenarios that other people would accuse you for being crazy to think of. But I hear you doing Happiest Day of My Life, and I see me walking up the aisle with Lionel Richie. There, I said it, okay?
Lionel Richie.
Oh, my God.
Great.
Yes, because...
I hope he's listening for your sake.
Look, he's just the right age. I can't be accused of being a cougar in this case because he's older than me.
You know, that's funny. I'm flattered. Thank you so much for saying that. But Happiest Day of My Life has been at many weddings already. There's, some people that have used it for their wedding, and I'm so flattered. I've heard that many times. And, you know, you have to be able to express yourself. There's so many beautiful standards out there. God knows that the reason why I'm writing the way I'm writing is because of Cole Porter and, you know, Mercer and all those fantastic, amazing, genius writers. It's because of them. I mean, you know, I'm writing like this. But you know, I have my own experiences I need to express. They're expressing their own experiences. You know, they went through hardship, they went through heartbreak or whatever they went through, and they put pen to paper and had, you know, went through their therapy. And this is my therapy, and I shouldn't have to relive their brokenheartedness over and over and over, you know?
That's right. And you know, you really have opened up a bit of a Pandora's box here, because this is something that we really it's good. We really haven't discussed this on the show. You are absolutely right. You can't relive somebody else's experiences. And, you know, knowing that there have been some...
Trish, you know, my bad. You can. It's not wrong. And, of course, the melodies are breathtaking, and they're pleasurable to sing. I sing them all the time. But me, as Brigitte, cannot... Don't choose to do that. I can't do that. I have too many situations in my life that need speaking about for my own therapy, and it happens to be in a song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying for me, it just doesn't apply. you know, although never say never, you know, somewhere down the road you might hear me singing Fly Me to the Moon. But, but not at this stage in my life. So let me not say never. I don't want it recorded for all eternity. And then it'll come and bite me in the you-know-where. So just at this moment in my life, at this stage, I have to write for my own heart and my soul, you know?
And I do, and I'm going to be thinking about the conversation for a while because, you know, for those writers who did write the songs that are still in our heads that have been interpreted by a million people, you know, their inspiration had to come from somewhere. There's always something or someone that inspires somebody else. And thank God for that, yeah. So, you know, here's you. Here is this amazing talent that some in our chat room are just beginning to take note of, and they'll probably be fans forever and a day now.
Wow.
Here you are with this. And this is wild. I've never said this about anybody before, but you have, as somebody mentioned, and I had thought about this too. Our good friend Griselda from Texas mentioned when she heard you sing just now, she said, "Do I detect a bit of Billie Holiday in there?" And I thought, yeah, that is true. And also in you is what you had just mentioned, too, being a part of, you know, not just jazz exposure, but other kinds of exposure. I hear what was great about Doris Day singing with big bands when I hear you.
I love Doris Day. Wasn't she
wonderful? I do, too.
She's
wonderful.
She's such a humanitarian and just an overall amazing human. Yeah.
And a great actress.
Great.
A great actress.
I mean, you know, I've heard so many things, so many people, whatever, you know, everybody has an opinion, and thank goodness they've all been positive. So that's wonderful. Billie Holiday, I guess, I don't know, God only knows, to be in the same mention as Billie Holiday is just an immense honor for me. I don't even know how that would apply. I can't even wrap that around my brain. So she's just... Please, one of the greatest.
Well, here's why. You have a way of conveying a song. There are some singers that seemingly will allow vulnerability to emanate from their voices. Some of it seems to the ear to be forced. You have this little girl in you that can be sexy and flirty, but also plaintive. It's a deep, deep thing inside of you. It just naturally comes out. And Billie was able to do that, God knows. I mean, I'm so happy that you didn't have a life like hers.
No,
but
you know, you can't get this kind of feeling without, you know, by floating on a cloud. I mean, I've seen my share of suffering, God knows, and, you know, not to get personal or too specific, but I've seen my share, and you can't really even be in a category like jazz. Unfortunately, I don't think, again, this is only my opinion, that you just can't do this without having some pain instilled in your soul. You just can't. I can't. So a lot of the songs like See You Again came out of pain.
Yes.
Take It Easy came out of pain. It's rare, unfortunately. I wish it wasn't so rare, but it's rare in my case that I'm singing A Happiest Day of My Life. You know, on the new CD, there's a couple little happy ditties, but not many. And you know, my producer always says when I sing him a song and I'm like, okay, we need to cut this song I just wrote, and he's like, please, please tell me it's not another ballad. Not another ballad, please, you're killing me. You know, and I'm bringing down the house all the time because I'm constantly writing ballad after ballad. So the Billie Holiday correlation, I kind of, maybe from her pain in the voice, that you're feeling my pain in my voice, because I haven't had, thank God, as much suffering, but I've had my share, so maybe they're getting that pain, you know? Maybe they're getting that.
Yes, and you have an understanding that a lot of jazz is based in blues. You understand that.
Yes.
So that's where that wisdom comes through. You can sound as if in one breath you are very young but very wise. That's pretty special, and that's why Jeff and Randy made the time to do this, because they wanted to be, as much as you wanted to have an association with them, I think they wanted to have an association with you. They recognized in you something that is coming. There's, and I've said this a couple of times on the show, but it's good to have you now. I don't know how things are going to be when this next CD comes out, girl.
What do you mean?
Might be touring the world, and next time I talk to you, Trish, who? I don't understand.
No. That's not true. Listen, you know, I got to tell you, Trish, I really am a fan of yours. Yes, I am. I heard your interview with Michael Franks, who is another person, I might say, that has made a huge impact on my life. I mean, you wouldn't think, because he's a little bit more, you know, he's not hardcore jazz, but I grew up with Michael Franks. I grew up because my brothers and sisters were Michael Franks-aholics. And and it turns out my producer, Neil Jason, has played on many of his records, like Baseball, I think, or just, I don't know, a lot of the songs. But so I listened to your interview with Michael Franks, and I adored it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Boy, that was a last-minute thing, too. Woo! That was three guests in a row that day, and I was shaken, because this is a guy that, you know, he's not, let's see, how old is Michael this year? He's in his 60s. I remember way back when, not when he was in college and had that aha moment when he was listening to Joe Beam in his college apartment, but when he first came out.
Joe Beam and Stan Getz impacted us both. Yeah, that's funny. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Gosh, and he got exposed to hearing particular beat folks in high school. So that's what just turned his head around. And he still cannot believe that he is in this space of time. He has on his website that this is the first time in his marriage that he's had this much time with his wife.
Wow.
So he views this
road. I don't
know
if that's a good thing or bad thing.
Oh, no, it's wonderful for him, because it's just he and his wife and six cats.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's on the road again, and this is his gentle little world. And
yeah.
This powerful
huge impact. Fan.
Yes.
Huge fan. Humongous fan of his. And definitely a person I would love to meet one day, hope to meet one day.
And you will.
I heard your interview with him. Oh, I hope so. I really do. And I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful interview. So,
thank you.
I'm a fan.
That's because there's a lot of love that goes back and forth. And people know that when they come here, it's going to be a safe place.
Great.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
One of the few on the planet.
What?
One of the few places on the planet.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, look. Hopefully there's more than this. No, there's a few safe places. So what about this scenario? Dying to understand the ramifications of this new CD. How is this going to work? Do you know? Do you have a time frame? Or is it a just we'll see as we go for each week?
You mean when it's going to come out?
Yep.
Or what type of CD it is?
You've made that a little bit clear. It's going to be different than what was originally intended.
Yes, I did. So you want to know when it's going to come out?
Yes.
You know, it's weird. We were ready to release it on my mama's birthday, which was July 14th, and then that had to come to a halt because it turns out that when I was singing on one of the songs, a ballad, of course, they, after it's been mixed and mastered and everything, you could hear a little jingling of my earring while I'm singing, and nobody noticed it until it was completely mastered and done, and then all of a sudden, you know, my producer's like, wait a minute, what is that noise? And, you know, so while I sing, I wear earrings. Don't ask me why. I guess I shouldn't do that anymore. But so we had to go back, and it's just this constant going back of fixing the new CD. So hopefully it's just a matter of printing right now, really. It's done. I mean, the CD's done. So I guess in the next couple of weeks it'll be released. It's really good. I'm really excited.
Oh, you should be, because you don't let things go unless they're done right.
No, that's for sure. You can't. You really can't. And you know what? It's really weird because I already want to start working on another CD of material. I have so much material. I want to just get that one going. You know, this one has been taking so long that I heard it a billion times, even though it's completely new to everyone else. I'm already, okay, that's done. Let me go on with the new one.
So I am tickled to hear you say that. That's really a good sign that you are anxious to get involved in the next project. You should be happy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm
good.
A little ADD. A little too much ADD.
So, okay, let's complete this wish list, shall we? Let's speak these names into the universe. Do you have anybody else that you would like to work with? As time goes on, maybe since we're midway into 2012, you know, going into 2013, if you could have your druthers, what would that path take? Little dream tour.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of my dreams come true on this new CD as far as musicians and arrangers. I've had the great Rob Munsey, who I adore. I adore his talent, and he's such a sweet, sweet guy. He arranged one of my new songs called Where There Is Love. So that was a dream come true for me.
Cool.
And some wonderful musicians also that appeared. But as far as working, this is easy. I don't even know why I would. My dream has always been to work with Burt Bacharach.
Ooh!
And Quincy Jones.
Oh!
Jones, yeah. That has absolutely been a huge, huge dream of mine. Burt Bacharach, the world's greatest melody maker. I mean, my God, talk about writing songs.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And why did I just get a vision of you singing Jackie DeShannon's What the World Needs Now Is Love, but a whole new anthem that is like that for your voice range? I mean, he would probably love to hear that you would like to work with him.
Oh, please. Please. I hope he's listening.
Wow. Well, you know what? Maybe it's supposed to be that this will get to him, because this goes into archive mode as soon as the live show is done. So we'll just find him and make sure he gets the show.
And, of course, Quincy Jones, who, you know, one of the greatest, greatest, greatest in the world. There's a few. I hope I don't I want to put it out there in the universe, but those are the top two for sure.
And actually, you know, just had a thought of how well you would be able to intertwine with James Ingram. I would like to hear a pairing like that.
Wow. Talk about a great voice, huh?
Oh my gosh. One of the all-time great songs is from a cartoon somewhere out there, Linda Ronstadt and James Ingram.
Yeah. She's amazing, too. Linda Ronstadt is talent.
Yes, and she was able. How about that? As far as working in multi genres,
yeah, pretty amazing. Actually, you hit the nail on one of my. She's also wonderful. She's a favorite of mine. Linda Ronstadt, believe it or not. I'm all over the map. But yeah, she stands out.
Oh no, that's the beauty of you, Brigitte. You are able to do all of that, and I know I love you because you've got that jazz sensibility about you. But shoot, it's what we always talk about between this show and the other show that I do, Cool Jazz Conversations. You know, you never, if you feel as though you need to expand your horizons, you never paint yourself into that box. But you know that.
Yeah, well, you can't, you know, you can't. You have to be open-minded, especially when you're a writer.
Yeah.
I try to be, at least, you know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you learned that early on, because when you were little, you weren't thinking, gee, I have to do this song that sounds like country, or
no.
I have to do a jazz song. You were just being the creative little wonder that you were and writing songs.
Oh, thanks, Trish. I mean, I have written, don't get me wrong, I have written because, you know, as a songwriter, you get called to do other projects that aren't jazz, but I have written for movies that were pop, rock. I have a library of all kinds of music that I've written that have been placed that aren't jazz. So you have to be open-minded. You know, you have to let yourself, as a writer, I guess, be able to just do everything.
Now, I didn't know that about you. Wow. So that's really an amazing talent. That means you'll never be out of work if you can do that as well.
And you're lost to God's ears.
My gosh. So how did you get involved? I guess you're going to give me the same answer because of the company you keep, but some folks that you were traveling.
No, but I also, as far as getting music placed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
At the moment, I have a licensing company. Fieldhouse Music is my exclusive song placement, I guess you would call it, licensing company. So if you want a Brigitte Zahre song, you would go there. You know, I just did that deal this year. But I've had other deals similar for my music for placements, and thank goodness they've been used, other songs. It's kind of weird, though, because you hear, like, you know, and of course, me being the writer, also me being the singer, I would sing the songs. You hear me singing some rock song or country song or pop song or whatever. It's kind of funny. And don't ask me where or how. You can Google it. I'm not going to tell you.
That is wild. And you know what? The conversation is so timely because I just found out yesterday, you know, talk about inspirations as you were coming up, found out yesterday afternoon that Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin eloped with Patty Griffin.
Wow.
Yes. And it puts you in the frame of mind of June Carter Cash's song, Ring of Fire. No, actually, Jackson, We Got Married in a Fever, hotter than a pepper sprout, because they were so hot to marry each other. They're living in a rundown house in Austin, Texas right now with bugs.
Wow.
So,
we need bugs?
That's what he said. He said you put something down on the table and the bugs come up. I don't know if he's just exaggerating or whatever, but this is so wild that you're telling me what you're telling me, because I'm seeing now these lines crossing about who is playing with who and who is making some creative music, who is thinking outside of those drawing with crayon lines so that people can make creative music. And when you are thinking along those lines, all sorts of wonderful associations can happen.
Yeah.
It's also,
you know, another example of, I guess, an artist being with another artist and then finding a happy ending as a result, because there's so much in common. There's so
Isn't
much
that wonderful
time spent together, and, you know,
Yeah. God. So, hey, anything can happen. Life can change on a dime, and I mean in the best senses of the word, and I know that more and more good things are going to happen to you. You feel that, don't you, Brigitte?
You know, I'm scared to ever feel like that because, like you said, life happens on a dime, and I don't ever assume to hope for anything. If it happens, then I'm grateful. But after I lost my mom, I kind of just take it every day, you know, just with a grain of salt. Whatever is going to be is going to be, and I just put it out there, you know?
Well, then allow some of us to understand that you've been in this valley, and now you're going to see a series of hills. And the more hills that you see, the more hills will unfold as you go down the highway.
Nice. I like that. Can I write that down?
Yeah. Song credit,
very
please.
Very poetic, Trish.
You are a trip. Oh, my gosh. Look, since the time I've been talking to you, you were mentioning the Randy Brecker song, and the last song I had intended to play, and I will, is Happiest Day of My Life. But I did not have the physical CD that was sent to me handy. So in the time that we played the last song, I went to Amazon, and I bought the other song because I had four that I recorded. I know every song of yours by heart, but there were four that I...
That's
yes.
That's so flattering. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So I'm going to end the show.
I'm sorry that you had to go to Amazon. I would have gladly had my producer send you an MP3 or whatever you needed.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because it's supposed to get played in this show when you had your interview. So you're going to get four songs. At the end of the show, that little magic song that you described is going to be the last song. And while you take your leave, and I know that you promised to give me an hour and the hour's up, I'm going to play Happiest Day of My Life.
Oh, thanks so much, Trish. I hope it is a happy day for you. It has been a happy day for me today.
Well, good. Good. And you need to have a whole lot more happy days, and we're just going to channel our little energies so that you do.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it very much, Trish.
Well, I appreciate you, and there's a whole bunch of people that would agree, and there's going to be even more. So thank you. And now I know how to say your first name because here I was doing the Brigitte Bardot thing. But and your mom's birthday was on Bastille Day. How about that, Brigitte?
It was. So it's funny. Somebody said that some sweet Twitter follower said to me that my mother is liberated, you know? Very.
You know, it's my mom and your mom now are up there, and they are our special angels. So wherever we have a crisis, your mom is going to come to you in ways like my mom does in the way of a cardinal, the bird, the cardinal.
Wow.
So that's
my
how I
love birds.
Did she?
My mother loved birds. Yeah. You know, it's hard for me to do the whole mom conversation. I'll ruin the whole interview, and I'll just explode into tears. So
no,
just,
don't.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Stay happy. Am I going to hold for you? Do you want me? Are we still?
No, I'm going to let you go because I know that you have a lot of other things to do because you're not just a singer. You're a businesswoman.
Thank you.
So,
thank you very much. I'm getting to know a little bit about myself today. I'm actually digging this, Brigitte, you're talking about. I have to take a little moment and say, okay, cool.
Hey, look in the mirror and know everything that you are, honestly, because this is just the tip of the iceberg. This whole Doris Day image, I want to see a remake of Move Over Darling and Pillow Talk starring Brigitte Zary.
Thank you. You know, it's funny. While I'm talking to you, I just got a Google alert. They're just showing me that my song, I Love Las Vegas, is somewhere. I don't know. But
really?
I have to look into this. Yeah. I just got a Google alert for that, so that's pretty cool. Do you know that song, right? I Love Las Vegas?
Yes!
That was a song that I wrote because my sister, Sylvie, is a Vegas-aholic. And she's crazy about Vegas. She's just, you know, crazy Vegas person. So I wrote it really in homage to her. And funny, very funny.
And didn't you say that the way to pronounce your last name is to think about Elvis Presley? And
yeah, was that a little arrogant? Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. I don't ever want to say anything that sounds unbelievably, God, Elvis is just, you know.
No, it's just a way to pronounce your name, that's all. So
right, that's all
that
it was.
Yeah, that was very helpful. So, of course, his big movie was Viva Las Vegas. So there's got to be a tie in here. Nothing is coincidence, Brigitte.
You're so funny. Okay, well, I'm with you, whatever. So Viva Las Vegas, my song, I Love Las Vegas. Great, I'm down.
Okay, cool, good. Just say yes and go on and have a wonderful day. And this is going to be the happiest day of my life because we're going to hear the song of the same name. God bless you.
Thanks,
we do
Trish.
Love you.
Love you back, and I hope we can we'll stay in touch online. Thank you so
we
much
will.
For taking the time. I'm glad I finally got to hang out with you.
Oh, me too, and we'll meet in person someday soon.
I hope so.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, bye, Chris.
All right, appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm telling you, I knew I would love that girl, and I do. Brigitte, now I know how to pronounce her first name. You know, listen, let me tell you something. When you have a son and you've done the research about his name, my son's name is T, but it stands for Tiernan. So his particular history of his name is that he was named after Tigranach or Tiernach, who was a beloved saint in Ireland. His mentor was Saint Bridget. A female mentor for this wealthy man who was so messianic that people used to come to him in his old age. He was blind at that time. So I'm thinking of Bridget, but wasn't thinking of the French roots. Brigitte Zary is the correct way to pronounce Brigitte's name. Here she is from Make Room for Me, Happiest Day of My Life on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. where he is. I forgot that that reunion song had a little bit of an outro there. Scott Ullman from his Generations CD. Always a pleasure to play something by Scott. Just one of those keyboard players that doesn't have the baggage that sometimes artists bring into their game. And here's why. Because he really doesn't have the blueprint for artists making that similar journey, because his blueprint was architecture. He went to school to the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia and studied and got his exceptional degree in design and architecture. So that's what he's been doing. And like Pete Gitlin, who we talked to a few weeks ago, who we'll be talking to again, hopefully, that background, Pete's background as vice president of his Fortune 500 company, and here's Scott Ullman, the head of his own architectural firm, you don't necessarily have those barriers that get in the way of how you should sound. It's what your ear tells you that comes through way of your fingers. And consequently, every track on here is just so refreshing, just beautiful. That one was called Reunion. You can find out more about Scott Ullman through his website, scottullmanmusic.com, and he is still working on his Places project, which is another very creative idea because he wants to incorporate people's ideas and thoughts and places that mean something to them into the new concept for his CD, which will hopefully be out in the fall. So we've got good things to look forward to. And happy anniversary to Scott and his wife. They just had their 15th year anniversary. 15 years married is a wonderful thing, and they are still very much in love. I just adore that whole notion. Bring it on. Give me more stories like that so I've got hope. Diodato, we heard from Umir Diodato, Rhapsody in Blue, the Gershwin song. Gershwin goes Brazilian, because that's essentially what it is. This wonderful keyboardist back in the 70s who turned the world around for a minute with the way he positioned music. So many wonderful things were happening with him. He made jazz accessible. He pulled in the classics. He got rock musicians to come into the fold. Just so you know who was part of this Deodato II project, John Trope on guitar, Ron Carter from the jazz world, top of the line on bass, John Faddis on trumpet, Hubert Laws on flute, Rubens Bassini on percussion. God bless me, I miss that man. He and Deodato were so tight back in the day, seeing them live in person. It was amazing. The chemistry on stage was crazy. Also on the album, Stanley Clark and Billy Cobham. Now, you may recognize that particular song because that was part of a Pontiac commercial in the early 70s. And two other songs on the album were featured in Grand Theft Auto Vice City for you gamers out there. Just amazing what Deodato has done in his career. He turned 69 just a month ago. And I can't say enough. That's one of those memories from college days that will forever stick. There is a song on Deodato II that's a Maurice Ravel song, Pavan for a Dead Princess. When you have heard that song, maybe it's just me, but life changed when I heard that song. You're hearing essentially an instrumentalist who you don't expect to play classical music turn a classic into something that was, God, I don't know what to say. You know, those of us of a certain age are speaking these days of making a will and what you want at your funeral, and I want that song at my funeral. You know, you have to talk about these things. People are dropping like flies. Come on. It's 2012. We just had three people, country, rock, and R&B, pass away the other day. Oh, this has been a year and a half, so you have to think about this stuff. And Deodato, you know, there's artists for you that you're going to think of, and you go, you know, I'd like to have that song played when people are coming into the church or whatever. It's just something you got to think of. And we heard from Brigitte Zahre from Make Room for Me, the happiest day of my life. And hopefully there will be time. We've got 30 more minutes to the show. We'll get to a fourth song by Brigitte because she spoke so well of Randy Brecker. It made me feel bad. So I wanted to play the song. But something that we didn't get to the other day because it was just Paula Atherton was on the show, right? So didn't get to it then, didn't get to it another time, but I just want to give you a taste of where Paula Atherton's inspiration came from because one of the songs on her new CD, Enjoy the Ride, is a song called Herbie, and it's all about Herbie Mann. Well, this guy pushed the envelope back in the day. He was with us for a wonderful time, 1930 to 2003. He liked to make people chafe. He liked it when you got mad at him. He liked to put people together that didn't necessarily belong. And man, this was the case back then from his CD called Push, Push. This is, again, going back to 1971. Deodato was 73. This is 2 years before that. This is Herbie Mann and Dwayne Allman. That's all I'm going to say. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy.
There's a sun up in the sky. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? There's more ways than one to fly. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? We can make it, you and I. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Do the monkeys in the trees have indigestion? Can you dig it? Were the lies you told me a mere suggestion? Can you dig it? Is to be or not to be really a question? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Well, the devil's on the loose. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? And the devil's loosey goose. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Let you do whatever you choose. Ride the waves and sing the blues. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? A boogie down the hill. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? If you're living for thrills, can you dig it? Can you dig it? It can leave you cold and still. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? There's a sun up in the sky. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? There's more ways than one to fly. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? We can make it, you and I. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Can't get away from that flute. Don't want to get away from that flute. The late, great Abby Lincoln there. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Can you dig it? She couldn't help it. There was just a part of her that was always a little bit of a beatnik. Hey, man, can you dig it? Oh, from the CD, It's Me, 2003, when she wasn't being as active, no, not nearly, as she had been in her life. She passed away in August of 2010, just days after her 80th birthday in August. And she led a life and a half. Woo! Vocalist, songwriter, NEA Jazz Masters Award winner, civil rights activist, storyteller, actress. If I throw some titles at you like Nothing But a Man with Ivan Dixon, or For the Love of Ivy with Sidney Poitier, or Mo Better Blues, Abby Lincoln was in each one of those movies, and every time she was on screen, there's just something special about her. There was something special about her, period. She was just one of those amazing people that touched you if you got a chance to hang with her. I don't even know when it was more pronounced, when she was married to Max Roach and got awakened to civil rights and the struggle and the journey and the fact that she had to be involved, or after she and Max parted and she delved into her own thing, which became our thing. But she just has had people say the most awesome things about her. There is a movie or two or three about her. There are books written about her. She left her stories behind and her music, too. Just really, really dig that song. Whew. Herbie Mann and Duane Allman. My God, that particular CD, Push Push, or LP, if you will, released in 1971, the same year that Duane Allman took his leave of us. Oh, that was a sad time, Lord. Herbie Mann was born Herbert J. Solomon, and he was a pioneer of fusing jazz and world with that flute. He had his own GPS, no joke. Got involved in Afro-Cuban music back in 1959. Got involved in bossa nova when he traveled to Brazil in the early 1960s. He just was able to merge different sounds, and he really ticked people off because he was good at getting a wide audience. You know, jazz snobs were in each decade, and they didn't like the fact that Herbie strayed from what was supposed to be. Herbie didn't have those rules. In 1975, he had a huge song that was on the dance charts called Hijack. And then, all combined, he had 25 albums on the Billboard Top 200 pop charts. He was getting work when none of those other cats were working. So a lot needs to be said about Herbie Mann and how well-versed he was on that flute. Yes, he did like to make sure that folks remained in controversy about him. If you look at the original cover art for Push Push, it appears that he's naked. It certainly looks that way. He's got a flute over his bare chest. And he wanted to make the album, which was basically full of covers, as a sensual experience for couples. Oh, he was a trip. So, delve more into Herbie Mann, won't you? That was a 10-minute jam and a half. Let us get to maybe two more tracks if we can possibly do it, maybe one. I promised if we don't get to Brigitte Zahre for this fourth track, I promised I was going to play this song. And a part of me is a little selfish about it because this is one of those songs that I cannot get out of my head. Don't want it to go. This is Dwight Sills. And it was just such a gas to have him spend time on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy a couple of months ago. Really an easy, easy interview. And as a matter of fact, the name of the CD is called Easy from 1999. This is Sliver Moon. Oh, yeah, you know this song. Check it out. Oh my God, I don't want that song to end. Woo, is that nice? Oh my goodness. Dwight Sills from his Easy CD and Sliver Moon with Russell Ferrante on piano, Jimmy Heslip on bass. There you go, Griselda. Sean McCurley on drums and Walter Rodriguez on percussion. Dwight on that tasty, oh Lord, tasty guitar. Now let me tell you something. On Thursday, what a treat I had via the mail the other day. I said to the person involved, I said, a little late to ask you this, but I really want to do what I can so that folks know you're playing at Blues Alley on Thursday. Is there any chance that you could be on the show? And Everett Harp said to me, Trish, let's make it happen. So, Everett Harp, the extraordinary internationally known Everett Harp, will be here with us 1 o'clock at the top of the show on Thursday. How about it? And Chris McNulty will be with us next week. Chris was going to come aboard on Thursday as well, but she has an opportunity that she cannot pass up. I'm so happy for her. Oh, it's going to be a cool end of July, and then we're going to wing into August. And just to give you a little taste of what's happening in August, Cindy Bradley will be joining us too. Thank you so much, Griselda and Matt and BJ and Yolanda and Kim and Micah. Micah, who's listening today too, and all of our guests, we really appreciate you so much. Thank you very much for tuning into Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. We'll see you with Everett Harp on Thursday. God bless.